Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
November 22nd, 2005. The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Advanced digital cameras. A couple weeks ago, I did a show on compact cameras and some of the things to look for when you're buying them. And I got quite a bit of mail about the show. A lot of people seemed to be very interested in not only compacts, but then also the more advanced models, what we call prosumer models or advanced amateur models. So, I promised to do a show on that, and this is that show, and there's lots of great stuff to talk about. Before I actually get into the cameras themselves, though, I have a couple of announcements to make and a little bit of housekeeping to do. First of all, I want to announce a contest. It's going to be like the easiest contest you've ever entered. And it's going to be on the Digital Story site. The way it's going to work is like this. I'm going to do the show today on advanced cameras. And I'm going to actually, unlike the compact camera show where I didn't really get into specific models, I'm going to talk about a few models that I like. And mainly because compacts, there are so many of them that it's really hard to start talking about specific cameras. That's not the case with the advanced cameras. There are fewer cameras, and it's a little bit easier to pick a few out and highlight them. So here's the way the contest is going to work. First of all, the prize is an iPod Shuffle. Okay, and I thought, well, that would be really cool since, you know, this is a podcast, and it would be something that you could put podcasts on, not only mine, but others as well, and music and all that good stuff. All you have to do to enter is this. After you listen to the show, go to the Digital Story site, go to show notes, which is where I always, you know, give you the little bit more information about what I talked about. And you can post a comment there. It's really easy, just like any site. And all you have to do is say what your the digital camera that you would like to buy right now. Just say what it is. You know, for instance, a Canon Digital Rebel is the one that I would really like to buy right now. Or an Olympus eVolt 300 or, you know, whatever it happens to be. And then, you know, you have to enter your name and stuff when you do that. And just by commenting, by putting what camera that you want to buy, or that you're interested in, you're entered in the contest. That is all there is to it. What I want to do is get a list of folks and see the cameras that people are interested in as a follow-up to this show. At the end of the week, the following Monday, I will basically take all the names and put them in a hat and draw out one person. And that person will get an iPod Shuffle. I'll announce the person's name, first name at least, on the show. And you can go back and look at the comments and see what they what that person recommended or wanted. And off we go. And then I'll contact them, get the mailing address, and send off the shuffle. So it's really that easy. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to advertise this contest on the site. There'll be no documentation about it or anything. Strictly a podcast contest. So only people that listen to the show will be able to enter. And even when you're listing, you know, what the camera is for, people that are just reading the show and not listening, they're just thinking that all these folks are just, you know, listing their favorite camera. But at the end of the week, the show will launch on November 22nd. So then the following Monday, I will pick the winner and off the go. One iPod Shuffle will go in the mail. So that's a lot of fun. So make sure after you listen to the show, you go over to the site and you list what camera you want, and we'll take it from there. So that's announcement number one, a contest, our first contest. By the way, I just really like contests a lot, and I hope to be running them often. So even if you don't win this time, believe me, we're going to do other stuff too, because I just think they're a hoot. Okay, item number two. There's going to be a new feature on the site, and this won't have so much to do with the podcast as with the site itself. And it's going to be called Grab Shots. Grab Shots. And basically, here's what it is. One of my things that I recommend is that you always carry a camera with you. If you've listened to the other shows, you know one of the reasons why I like compacts is because you're more likely to have a camera with you when something interesting happens in the world. Well, Grab Shots is sort of evolved out of that notion. And what I'd like to do is once or twice a week, or however often we happen to have shots, is actually post a shot that someone from our audience took when they're out bopping around in kind of an interesting, humorous, maybe just a shot with a fun juxtaposition, whatever it happens to be. And but I'd like these to be mostly reader submitted. Now I'm going to start it out. I'll start one out. I think probably there should be one on the site when you listen to the show. If not, I'll get one posted right away. And that sort of outlines the whole thing. And then if you click on the submissions button on the Digital Story site, you'll also get all the information about how to submit. But basically, all you have to do is send me a picture that you just a grab shot that you took that you think is interesting, and add a caption to it. And sometimes, quite honestly, the caption is what really, kind of drives the whole thing home. Send it to me. And then what I'm going to do is go through them, and at least once a week, maybe more often, post a grab shot. We'll call it grab shot. There'll be a category, on that drop down menu in the upper right hand corner called the jump to menu. There'll actually be a category called grab shot, so you can see all the past grab shots. And we're just going to do this. We're just going to have fun. And this is a way, I think, to post, shots from all of you out there. I know you're taking pictures, and I know you're getting some good ones. And let's put them up on the site and have some fun with them. Now, every time you get a grab shot posted, I'm going to send you the Digital Story carabiner key ring. These are really cool. They're like, the big carabiners with a key ring attached to it, and they're great for, putting on your camera bag or your backpack or, whatever you got. And it's got the Digital Story on it, the whole deal. And so every time you get a grab shot published, I'll send you one of those. And I'll probably be thinking of other goodies too, but that'll get us going. So look for that. Dig around in your archives. Send in some shots, and let's get them posted on the site. And that's called Grab Shots. All right, so those are my two big announcements for the week. Third one, thank you, all of you. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for bearing with me last week on show number 7, where I had all sorts of... if you go to the site and you read the comments on the show notes on show number 7, you'll see that I had all sorts of technical problems last week, and the show didn't really sound very good at all. So I apologize for that. And for those of you that actually managed to listen to the whole show, I thank you. And I think we got all that worked out now. And I'll continue to make the audio as good as possible. But thank you for bearing with me on show 7. All right. Cameras. Advanced, amateur, digital SLRs. There are some really good ones out there right now. And I'm actually going to start with digital SLRs, and then I'll also talk a little bit about the all-in-one cameras. The reason why I want to start with digital SLRs is that I think for the money and for the image quality and for the versatility and also just for the great experience while you're taking pictures, I think they're the best cameras going right now for serious photographers. Not everyone, but if you're listening to the show, chances are you're pretty interested in serious photography, and you might not be ready for a digital SLR now, but at some point you probably will. So anyway, I'm going to start with those, but I'm also going to talk about the all-in-one or the prosumer models, whatever you want to call them. So Popular Photography, which is a magazine that I really like, and one of the things that I use when I'm doing my research, I also research online, but the December 2005 issue, which just came out, they named the Canon EOS 5D the camera of the year. And this is a 12.8 megapixel camera, full frame image sensor, sells for about $3,200 to $3,400, depending on where you find it. And, you know, the cool thing about it is, other than it takes really good pictures, is that it has what we call the full frame sensor, which means it's about the same size as 35 millimeter film, which means that your 28-105 zoom lens, when you put it on this camera, is actually 28-105. You don't have any magnification factors or any of that sort of stuff to goof around with. Now, if you've been reading the site, you know that a while back I actually published some information about the 5D, and I should put some more info on there, but I've been shooting with one for a while now, and I have to say that it's really a good camera. It's a heavy camera. It's not, you know, something that you just throw over your shoulder and when you're on the go. It's a camera that you use for serious shoots, and for when, you know, you don't mind lugging around some equipment. But it takes fantastic shots. The image sensor is really great. You put that 17 to 40 lens on there, and you really have, you know, this great, you know, wide view, which we're not used to with digital cameras. The image processing is outstanding. You can shoot up to ISO 1600 with it, and the noise is really subtle, really subtle. You know, the noise at ISO 1600 on this camera is better than 400 on most compact cameras, probably more like 200 on most compact cameras. But it is, you know, right around $3,400 too. So I'm putting that at the top end of our list. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm actually going to talk about specific models today. So, you know, Nikon does make, you know, their answer to this camera. And actually, it was out before the 5D. And it's the Nikon D2X. And it's 12.4 megapixels. It sells for a little bit more. It's about $5,000. It's a darn good camera and shoots really great in low light. But I think right now, you know, if you're going looking for that, you know, that, you know, big megapixel camera in the DSLR, I think that the Canon 5D is the way to go. Now, that being said, let's talk about camera brands for the moment. Today, I'm mainly going to focus on Canon and Nikon. I will mention Minolta a little bit, and maybe Fuji, some of the other brands, but I'm mainly focusing on these two. And, you know, one of the things about, you know, which way should I go? I don't personally think that Nikon or Canon are, you know, is inherently better as a brand than the other. But, you know, what influences me is, you know, the lenses that I already own and the, you know, and the things like flashes and all that kind of stuff. And it does happen that you do sort of get locked in. I started shooting with Canon a long time ago, and that was really the first autofocus camera I started using. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, as I accumulate lenses and all that stuff over the years, I'm really hesitant to go to another brand because I don't feel like starting all over again. And I think this is one of the challenges that Olympus has with its digital SLRs and coming up with a new four-thirds system and a whole new set of lenses. Now, Olympus argues that, well, our lenses and camera bodies, they're all calibrated to each other, and, you know, you're getting a true digital experience. You're not slapping a film lens onto a digital body and, you know, maybe having not optimum performance. And, you know, it's an interesting argument. To tell you the truth, I haven't really seen the results, differences, you know, between Olympus and, let's say, Canon, what I shoot. And in fact, I think the Olympus cameras tend to have a little bit more image noise than I prefer. So I'm not sure I buy Olympus's argument, but, you know, the thing that they make fine cameras, don't get me wrong. I think they make very, very good cameras. But the thing that they're really up against is that, you know, no one owns these lenses already. So if you're going to buy the Olympus body, the Evolt 300 or whatever, then you also have to buy all of your lenses. You have to start from scratch. And that, you know, that can really add up when you're paying $400 or $500 or more per lens. So, you know, one of the tips I want to, put across here is that if you already have lenses, Nikon or Canon, you know, really, I think because the cameras are so good, then I really would recommend that you stay within the camera line and don't jump ship and have to go buy all new glass and all that sort of stuff. So you really can't miss. All right. That being said, so now let's go to the mid-level cameras. And again, the Canon 20D is a terrific camera. It runs about $1,300, give or take, depending on where you buy it. 8-megapixel camera. Now, it doesn't have the full frame. It has what we call the APS size sensor. And what that means is that the sensor is smaller than 35mm film. It's actually about the size of APS film. And that has some ramifications. The number one ramification is you have image magnification with all of your lenses. In other words, if you put a 50mm lens on there, you know, you basically have to multiply by 1.5 or 1.6 as to the actual focal length you're going to have. So, you know, a 50mm lens then becomes like a 75 or 80mm lens. Now, this is really great if you're shooting, you know, telephoto stuff, because your 200mm telephoto suddenly is like a 300mm telephoto, and that's really cool. But if you're trying to shoot wide angle, it's a real problem, because, you know, chances are the widest lens that you had prior to getting digital cameras was probably a 24mm lens. And, you know, so that's going to be, you know, like a 36mm lens or so when you put it on a camera with an APS sensor. And that's not really that wide, especially when you're in tight quarters. So then you find yourself having to buy lenses that are like 17 or 18 millimeters just to have, you know, the focal lengths that we were used to at the wide end. Now, so that's one thing, image magnification. And the other thing, you know, that's just kind of, practical about it is that, you know, you always have to sort of calculate what your focal length is. You can't just look at the lens and say, oh, I'm at 28 millimeter, or, oh, I'm at 50 millimeter, or 80, or whatever. You're always having to do this sort of calculation in your head. And, you know, it's not a big deal, but it is kind of a drag. Now, the other thing about APS sensored cameras is that they tend to have a little bit more image noise than the full-size cameras. Now, compared to compact cameras, they are fabulous. Don't get me wrong. I mean, when we're talking about image noise difference between an APS camera and a full-frame camera, it's nothing like the improvement that you get moving from a compact camera to an APS size sensor. So image noise is, you know, not that big a deal, really, and realistically. But they are a little bit noisier, those sensors, than the full-frame ones. But you're paying a lot less money, and there's not that big a difference. So, you know, the Canon, 20D is a fabulous camera. It's very well built. It's very sturdy. I've shot with it many times, and I really like the feel. It's very responsive. It focuses quickly. It does well in low light. You can use all of your Canon lenses on it. And, you know, one thing that it has that the 5D doesn't have is that the 20D has a pop-up flash, which comes in really handy for situations when you don't have your big flash unit with you. The 5D does not have any built-in flash at all, so you have to have an external flash if you want to do that. So that's a pretty good camera there in the mid-range, and I like it quite a bit. Now, Nikon, you know, I'm going to pass on them in the mid-range because the next camera that I'm going to talk about for them is in the competing with the Rebel. So this gives me a chance. I do want to talk about one Minolta camera. It's the Maxim 5D. It runs about $800. It's a 6-megapixel camera. And the reason why I want to mention it is it's a pretty good camera, but it has image stabilization actually built into the camera instead of just specific lenses. And that is kind of interesting. I sort of like that a lot. But the overall camera, I don't think is quite on par with the Nikons and the Canons, but it's a darn good camera. And as I said, you can get it for around $800. And if you already have any Minolta lenses, autofocus lenses, then the 5D is probably a camera worth taking a look at. Okay, so I want to hop over now to the lower end of the digital SLR camera line. And there's the Nikon D50 and the D70. The D50 is the more affordable model. It's about $650, but I think it's about $100 less. But it's also the newer of the two, and it's really a terrific camera. For $650 for, you know, a digital SLR body, 6 megapixels, I think actually 6.1, really good image quality, very responsive. You don't have all the controls that you would have on a more expensive camera, but you have really a lot of features, and I just think it's a terrific camera. And again, the image quality is excellent up to ISO 600 or 1600. I'm sorry, and it does have the image magnification thing of 1.5, and again, that's because it's an APS sensor camera. But you have JPEG and you have RAW. It uses SD cards, which is kind of interesting instead of compact flash. And it's really a terrific camera. So, take a look at, if you're shooting Nikon glass already, and take a look at the D50. You can get out of Dodge for not much more than $600. It's a really good deal. Now, the D50 came out as a response to the Canon Digital Rebel XT. And I have that body also. And it's an 8-megapixel camera, also APS size sensor. Runs about $800. You can get the lens with it, the 18 to 55 millimeter lens, for another $100. If you don't have a wide angle zoom, I would highly recommend getting that lens because it's a great lens, especially for the money. And I have to say that of all the cameras that I shoot right now, the Rebel XT is my absolute favorite. And, you know, what I've done with this, and I'm going to do a little review on one of the lenses, is I have one of these little, it's a Tamrac backpack. It's an Expedition 3, I believe. Really not very big. It's very easy to throw over your shoulder, very light. And in that backpack, that little backpack, it's not a big one at all. It's just a little backpack. I can have my Digital Rebel, the 18 to 55 millimeter lens that comes in the kit, which is a really good lens. And then I have a Sigma 55 to 200. So this is really cool. So with two lenses, I have 18 millimeter to 200 millimeter, a really nice long range. And the Sigma lens is really small and light, just like the Canon lens. So these lenses don't take up very much room at all. So I have that. And then I have a little Canon or Casio EX505. And it's a 5-megapixel camera, but I carry it because it shoots great movies. Full-frame movies, 640 by 480, 30 frames per second. And it also does 5-megapixel stills. So I have that in a little backpack, a couple iPods, filters, wires, all this stuff. And because the Canon camera, the Rebel, is so light, it's like only a pound and a half or something, and the lenses are so light, you know, I can throw this thing over my shoulder and it's like no weight at all. Whereas it feels like to me like the whole kit weighs less than just, you know, lugging around the Canon 5D. And this is why I like the Rebel, because it takes great 8-megapixel shots. I can put lenses on it, has a pop-up flash, APS-C sensor. It does have the image magnification. I think it's 1.6. But it's just a fabulous, lightweight, affordable camera, easy to carry around, and in all honesty, not that much bigger than a lot of prosumer cameras. So of all the things that I'm shooting with right now, I'm going to tell you that my personal favorite is the Rebel XT. And again, that runs for around $800 for just the body and add another $100 for the lens. So that's sort of my digital SLR roundup there, and I will list them on the show notes. I think they're really kind of cool. Now, I do want to talk about the prosumer cameras for just a second. And there's one in particular. Nikon just came out with it's the Coolpix 8800. And this is a very interesting camera. Now, the thing about the all-in-ones, you know, these advanced amateur cameras, is that the lens is actually affixed to the body. Now, the body is looks a lot like a digital SLR. It does have the pop-up flash, has a hot shoe on top. The 8800 has a hot shoe on top. But what they've done is they give you like a 10x zoom that's really built right into the camera, 8 megapixels for the sensor. Now, the sensor, I believe, isn't full APS size. It's a little bit smaller. And I think this is one of the problems with these cameras is that because the sensor is smaller than APS, you do get more image noise than you would get with the Nikon D50, let's say, which does really great in low light. But you do have a very compact camera to carry around with a 10x zoom, 8 megapixels, and basically all the shooting modes, metering modes, you know, and features that any serious photographer would want. The other advantage is that I think that the 8800 sells for around $800. And so that's body and lens, 10x lens, for about the price of a digital Rebel without a lens. And then if you were to put a 10x lens on a digital Rebel, it would cost you, you know, a lot more than the $100 that you spend for the 18-55 that you can get in the kit. So I think the advantage to the prosumer camera is that you have a lot of camera in a very compact package. You have better quality than you would get with the smaller compacts that we talked about a couple weeks ago. You have more interesting features. A lot of times you can do movie modes and things that you can't do with a digital SLR. And I probably should talk about that just for a second. Two of the things that I miss when I'm shooting with a digital SLR that I miss from when I use other cameras is that, first of all, the LCD viewfinder is always fixed to the back. Which, of course, it is because you're not looking at the LCD viewfinder when you're taking shots like you do with other cameras. But you can't swivel it around, and you know, I sort of miss not being able to use it that way. The other thing that I miss on digital SLRs is they don't shoot movies, or at least none of the cameras that I have shoot movies. There are still picture cameras only, and shooting movies with a compact digital camera is really a lot of fun these days. So back when I talked about having both, a more advanced camera and your compact, that's one of the reasons why that you get that movie mode. And a lot of times you get some interesting viewfinder options too. So I've looked at the current crop of advanced amateur cameras, the all-in-ones. And so my pick is the Nikon 8800. It's a darn good camera. I got to hold it and zoom and take some pictures. And I think if you're really seriously looking at these, take a look at that one. And of course, since the lens is affixed, you don't have to worry about previous lenses that you own and all that kind of stuff. Probably one other one that you might want to take a look at, and I have a note on it here. It's the Fuji, what is it? Oh, yes, the Fuji FinePix S9000. And it's a 9-megapixel camera with a 10x zoom. And I haven't shot with one myself, but I've heard some pretty good things about it. So you might want to take a look at that camera also if you want to compare something to the Nikon. Okay, so those are, some pretty nice cameras that I just talked about there. Starting with the 5D at around $3,400, a little bit less, all the way down to the Nikon D50 that you can get for, less than $800, $650 if you really shop around, and is a lot of camera for the money. And again, really, if you can have a compact also to go with these cameras, I highly recommend it. That way, you will have a camera with you and you'll run across great shots so that you can enter our grab shots. It's not a contest. It's just a fun thing for readers. Whatever you get, make sure it's something that you really will use a lot and take with you. And really look at this little Tamrac Expedition 3 backpack. I have to tell you that I am a camera bag nut. I just love camera. Well, actually, I hate camera bags. And I'm always looking for the perfect camera bag. But I love the thought of having the perfect camera bag. So I end up with a bunch of them. And then I get frustrated with them and everything. But this little backpack, and you can get it for less than $50. It's really well made. It's got all the cool little straps and everything, buckles and things on it. I actually put a couple of the Digital Story carabiners on it so I can hang stuff off it. And just look like a just total kind of cool photo geek. But it is so light and so comfortable that you won't even think twice about taking it with you when you go out for a walk or just bopping around town. And it has not only does it have the backpack straps, but it's got a really nice handle on top. And it's got straps that go across the front. So like no matter which way it's lying, you can just grab this thing and pick it up and go. So even if you don't buy any of these cameras and you're not ready to do that yet, take a look at this little Expedition 3 pack. I think you'll really dig it. All right. Well, I think that about covers it for this week. Let's pick up the conversation online. Post your favorite digital SLR or advanced camera, the one that you're lusting after, so you can enter the iPod contest for the iPod Shuffle. And post any other comments that you want to. If you have questions about a specific digital camera that you're thinking about, just go ahead and drop me a note, Derek@thedigitalstory.com, D-E-R-R-I-C-K. And all this information is on the site, thedigitalstory.com. And really, it's the best place to communicate with me. And also, you have to remember, our readers out there have a lot of knowledge. So if you post a comment on the site, they might answer it before me. And a lot of times, you'll get a different viewpoint and get a broader view of a particular question. So, just kind of dig in and participate. Make sure you enter the contest, though, because you know, right now, you know, we're just building the site and we're just building our audience and everything. So this is like the best time to enter because there are going to be fewer people than, you know, 6 months from now. So get in there, enter, tell me what your favorite camera is, have fun, post comments. I hope you enjoyed the show today. We're just going to keep working on the show, keep working on the site. I got lots of things coming down the pike, and I look forward to visiting with you next week. In the meantime, I'll see you online at thedigitalstory.com. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.